974 Tango Whiskey, 2.6 for 3000, 140 on heading.
I just thought of something right now. So that attitude of being afraid to fire people, that attitude of always, re-signing people, because you don't want to have that discussion with them. Does that embolden a guy to stick to his beliefs and make a mockery of an evening? Like a certain defenseman did.
Yeah, I think it could.
Because somebody, and it's not somebody that I have ever interacted with, but I saw it on a post to somebody else's comments on the Provorov situation. And this person literally said, that stuff would not happen in Pittsburgh with Brian Burke.
Oh, yeah, no way.
Brian Burke has a huge heart and a spot in his heart for the LGBT community because of his son. No player on that Pittsburgh Penguins organization would dare do something like that and embarrass the team and put a thumb in the eye of Brian Burke and his family. Nobody would.
Yep, it's true.
And for all the stuff about, well, he's Russian Orthodox. It's his beliefs. It's his religion. Malkin wore it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
He had
there's
no problem
plenty of other players on other teams that have had no issues.
That's a really interesting thing. Like, is this the attitude? Mike, as you've said, the fish rots from the head down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like everything at this organization, it's freaking ineptitude at the management level, and it seeps in all over the place. And it's
crazy.
Just the boat just keeps filling with freaking water, and we don't have any flex seal. It's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right. You know, there was, and you had mentioned this the other week, man. He was, you know, with the organization. Apparently, I think Charlie did report this that the organization on the hockey side knew Provorov was going to do this at least one day in advance, but that was never communicated to the business operations side.
Some speculated like almost a week.
Almost a week.
A week.
Yeah. It's that. Oh, my God. That is so significant, I think.
That's crazy. Yeah. You knew if they really had a heads up, whether it was a day or a week, whatever, and they did not communicate that to the PR side, who was about to get fucking shellacked by national media. That's bad.
This could be the ammunition we need for Val Camillo to go in with fucking guns ablazing
clean
and
everybody
fucking
out.
Clean
yeah.
house
yeah.
and say if she's ever in a position of CEO and governor, which is Dave Scott, she got promoted, but she's still under Scott and still does not have any hockey ops say at all, but if she's in that Dave Scott role, she will remember this and say these fucking assholes didn't tell us
buried us
that
alive.
Ivan Provorov
yeah.
was going to ruin one of the most important nights we have as an organization, and I'm getting all these fucks out of here. I mean, maybe that's
maybe.
The ammo she needs.
Yeah. It certainly was not a good look if that story is true, which I would assume. I would assume it is. I just can't imagine that the organization would have no kind of damage control if they knew it was going to happen.
Yes, there would have been something in place.
There had to be
to figure this out.
Something in place to make sure that it didn't fucking spiral this far out of control. Like, they didn't, whether Provorov did blindsign them or whether the hockey ops knew and did not tell the business side, something happened that, you know, for the PR side clearly had no idea this was going to happen.
You know what they would have done? I bet their PR side's pretty sophisticated now. I bet what they would have done if they would have gotten notice of this is they would have figured out a way to have a really worthwhile and probably a unique and a bigger event around this that didn't involve the players wearing the jerseys. Maybe they had like a, I don't know, some huge party or something, or something.
There were even things they could have done to have a significant version of the night without having jerseys. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel like they would have done that. Given the effort that they put into this and with the player participation that they had from a lot of other guys, I feel like Val Camillo's department would have pivoted if they would have known.
Yeah, there would have been things that they could have done to still have a worthwhile night and avoid the jerseys. Yeah, but nope.
You're right, Mike. If there's any time for Val Camillo to make a move, it would be in short order, because that hockey news, you know, the power, you know, what is it, that special issue where the
power and money,
power and money, right? They had Val Camillo there, and who is she with? Kim Davis of the diversity initiatives at the NHL, right? Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, when they interviewed Val Camillo, she's big on, you know, inclusion, and she's big on getting, you know, a higher profile for women and for other peoples and minorities and et cetera. Doesn't an issue like this.
Oh, it kills her. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if she's a part of that group at the NHL and this is her passion and this is what she really wants to focus on doing, which might explain the renewed emphasis on why the event, you know, overall turned out there was more effort put into it this year. There were more initiatives and things going on to make it a good event compared to years past. But then this Provorov thing happens.
And they almost knew. Yeah.
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 God, how the fuck can you operate as an organization and have that?
How can you know something like that was going to happen and not tell the fucking people that we're going to deal with the backlash of it? Like, hey, PR staff, you know, Ivan Provorov was about to do something really fucking stupid. Maybe he should get ahead of this. How?
Yeah, they just let it bleed.
Did they think it was just not that big of a deal? Like, this was going to be a fucking big deal one way or the other here. And they didn't feel the need to.
Yeah, because nobody wants it's all passing the buck. There's a bunch of wusses in this management structure. Everybody is a fucking baby. Nobody wants to put the big boy pants on and say the difficult things. So this all percolated throughout hockey ops. They all knew it, you know, fucking Danny Briere and Brent and Chuck and, you know, I don't know if the senior advisors knew it because they're not there day to day, but everybody in that building knew it. And nobody had the fucking nuts to say, look, this is probably going to be a big issue. You know, our marketing folks put a tremendous amount of time into this event here. We should probably try to give them notice now. Nobody wanted to do it because it probably percolated up to Chuck and he's paralyzed. It's a difficult decision. I don't want to do it, so I'm just going to let it go.
And I don't want to punish Provorov, and I don't want to tell the business side, so we're just going to sit back and watch everything fucking burn.
He's a fucking loser. He doesn't want to have the tough conversation. He's a goddamn loser. That's what he is. That's probably what happened.
That's probably, yeah.
Mr. Scott, we have a media availability. No, I can't. I don't want to talk to the media.
Now, is there a chance, actually, I'm glad you brought up Scott. Is there a chance that Scott didn't know?
If the business side didn't know, I would assume Scott did not know.
So if Scott finds that out and knows that the hockey ops people withheld the information, it's a huge problem for their PR people and for Val's group. Would Scott potentially use that as a reason to say, you know, I got to clean this place up. I got to clean these guys out. Probably not.
A competent person, maybe, but
that's the standard. Yeah.
Yeah. On the Dave Scott's tail. I don't think that's enough.
See, but again, like, no matter how you fall on the side of, you know, whether you thought he was just exercising his rights or whatever, the magnitude and the fallout of what occurred there was a critical breakdown within that structure of the organization,
yeah,
mm-hmm. where parts of the organization didn't have a freaking clue and we're not ready and we're not able to respond to the needs of the organization. Mm-hmm. That is a massive problem. Like, it's beyond a problem. It shouldn't be like that at all. Mm-hmm. And Val Camillo should see that and say, you know what? We got to change this right now because this is brutal. Because now it's Ivan Provorov on a pride night. And what's next? What's the next PR disaster that's going to happen? What's the next thing that's going to throw mud on this organization's eye and make us look like a bunch of buffoons?
When Sean Couturier returns, he gets hurt again right away.
Yep. What else is going
to
be?
Oh, that won't bleed to Val's department. It's got to bleed over to her.
And maybe this is really the issue. Because when you look at the history of the last couple of years, when you think of the list of, you know, things that have happened to the organization and to people in the organization, this is a huge problem because they don't get out in front of anything.
No,
they don't cross their T's and dot their I's, and they don't get all their ducks in a row. And it, and you know, some of them are really unfortunate incidents. You know, I'm thinking about the Jim McCrossin and all the other stuff. And
yeah, the fact that that got to actual litigation is pretty bad.
Like, and that's what I mean. Like, it's bad for everybody. Especially for the two individuals that are sick, but as an organization too. Mm-hmm. And if there was a good communication system, it might not have gone to litigation. They might have just said, you know what, no matter what, we're going to take care of you.
Yeah. Yep. But they don't. You might overpay, but you need to really take significant measures to stop that in its tracks. Yeah. Yeah. No, it has all the telltale signs of dysfunction, of bad communication. The question is, what's the breaking point? How much can the people at the top tolerate this, before there's major shakeups? And there really haven't been any major shakeups since, you know, Dave Scott took over, sans Textall getting fired. But other than that, everybody's been kind of there with Dave, and nothing's really happened. And I don't know. My sense is they may have a high tolerance for it. They just fucking roll with the punches. But this has got to be, because you're right, Val Camillo really, her name is associated with these types of initiatives, and that's, you know, how she's gotten so high is making these successful. And when you have something like this that comes out, especially with Charlie's article, yeah, I mean, you got to hope that hits the breaking point.
But why would anything change? Who's Dave Scott fired? Mm-hmm. What moves has he made? What shuffles has he made in that front office? Mm-hmm. None. So you know what? If I'm not going to get fired, I'm going to just fucking do whatever I'm doing, and that's it.
Yeah, it's true.
Why should I change? Mm-hmm. Why should I pick up the phone and call another department and tell them about something? Why? Whether I do or I don't, I still got my job. Who cares?
It seems to be the common theme throughout most of this team, both the hockey ops and the business side. Like, who cares? Why should I change? We're just going to fucking keep doing what we're doing here.
Why? Players, I might even get a fucking promotion. This guy's so fucking out to lunch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe Fletcher got word of it and said, you know, on one hand, I could go over to Val Camillo, who he probably does not like, and tell her about this, or I can just let it go, and I know that all the senior advisors have my back.
Can I ask a question for clarification? Yeah. So we know that Tortorella knew. We knew that the locker room knew. Did Chuck Fletcher know?
More than likely, I would assume Fletcher.
I can probably pull up Charlie's article.
Yeah, because I only asked because, you know, according to Chuck Fletcher, you know, him and Torts, you know what, they always talk. They're in regular communication, and that's something that, you know, you kind of want to communicate to your boss. If Chuck Fletcher knew...
He had to have known.
What actions did he... Like, I know that the players met with Provorov. I know that John Tortorella talked about it. They all talked about it in that dressing room. Did it escalate to the point of, dude, the general manager wants to see you? And I know that there's people out there right now that are going to say, well, what are they going to do? They're not going to bench him. It's illegal to bench him. They can't do this. They can't do that. It's his freedom. It's a religious choice. I get that. But now when you go to the general manager's office, and then by proxy, Dave Scott comes into the meeting. Ivan, I'm paying you a lot of money. Is this really the way that you're going to go? I mean, I know that people are out there with their ideals and, oh, it's his beliefs and this and that and the other thing. But if somebody with that much power who signs your checks, and they're substantial checks, just says, okay, listen, just do this, please, 10 minutes. That's all we're asking of you.
So the article does say that he would have known. By Friday of last week, prior to the team's road trip, Provorov made it clear that he had misgivings about wearing the jersey. Here's a quote. Myself, Provy, and Chuck had conversations along the way here, Tortorella said. And then I talked to some players. I talked to Lawton. Lotz is so close to it with his family and all. I wanted to show him the respect. Provorov was given the opportunity to reflect for a few days on whether he'd be willing to wear the jersey during warmups, but that he should expect his teammates would be doing so regardless. Those involved in the discussion did not know what decision Provorov would ultimately make. But in the interim, between Friday and Tuesday, Flyers business operations was not made aware of the possibility that Provorov would not participate in a pregame skate while wearing the Pride jersey.
Fucking so you're idiot. The words in that article reinforce everything that we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. He was given time to reflect.
So Chuck completely knew this. Yeah.
Right. Okay. You don't have to give us an answer now. Just go home, okay? Think about it. Let us know what it is. Rather than sitting there going, you're doing this. Because if you don't do this, we're going to have a real problem.
Yep. It says, on Tuesday morning, hockey operations communicated to the business department that the team was going to wear the Pride jerseys. Notably, there was no mention of Provorov's plan to avoid warm-ups.
Oh, my God. These fucking idiots deserve every fucking misgiving they get. God, they're fucking stupid. So even when they fucking communicated, they didn't communicate the most important part! God damn it. I need a new fucking career. This is horseshit. I'm going to cover a different team. Go back to the Hurricanes. I grew up a Hurricanes fan. They're fun. Devils are a lot of fun. I was a big Marty Brodeur guy back in the day.
Let's cover the new slap fighting.
My Jesus fucking Christ. What a bunch of goddamn.
We'll get it on the ground floor, Dan. We'll start there. The big slap fighting, concussions and everything.
Watch people get fucking CTE right before our eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
God. Ugh, yeah, that's. Yeah, I think that they just, God, they just really dropped the ball on it. You can't, you know, with something like this, you really need to clarify what you're doing and how you're going to do it. You can't just let this fucking thing bleed out and then the public relations arm of your organization has no clue what's happening until the 11th hour. Like, come on. Like, this is a microcosm for like how they run their just everything, really. You know, it's like how they have like the JVR trade, like, or the lack thereof, just establishing markets, figuring out how to plan stuff, and, you know, creating contingencies, just nothing. It's like run like a fucking mom and pop store, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. You were late 3 times for work today at the pizzeria. You know what? Go home, think about it, reflect on it. No, it's called, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. You're fired.
And okay? It's like, okay. All right. So I'm going to extend on. That's a really good analogy. So, okay. So you own a pizza parlor, right? And you have a high school kid and he's like your only chef, right? So, right. And you have this huge event coming up, like your business is about to go under. You have a huge event coming up where you need to make like all these pizzas in like half a day. And if you don't, then the business like collapses. And the kid and your head chef, who's a high school kid, says, hey, I may not come in that day. I'm not sure. And then you say, okay, well, take a couple days to think about it and just let us know the morning of. It's like, fucking, why the fuck would you put yourself in that position? And then the kid doesn't come in. Like
crazy. And by the way, for all the listeners out there, maybe this is a subliminal message. Dan, I love your shirt. What does that say? Does that say pizza slut?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's so good.
I love that shirt. That's a great shirt. That might have been what triggered the pizza analogy.
It's making me hungry.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go gorge myself and eat myself to death out of depression from this fucking team. Everything about them. Fucking people don't talk to one another. Nobody knows what's going on. I don't know. Do you think we should let Dave Scott know? No, I think it's okay. Like, if Dave Scott would have gotten involved and said, listen, Ivan, I appreciate your religious guy. I think Dave Scott's a religious guy, from what I can understand. Dude, we're paying you $40.5 million over 6 years. Dude, you got more money than fuck all of us would see in 2 lifetimes, 3 lifetimes. Dude, 10 minutes. Just go out onto the ice. You come off and kind of hobble a little bit. Get off the ice after 45 seconds. That's all we're asking you to do. We're paying you $40.5 million over 6 years. Yeah. How does anybody not sit there and go, you know what, Mr. Scott, fine, I'll do it. Get somebody to like fire a puck, like, you know, wrist the puck at me and, you know, it hit me in the arm. I'm going to go to the dressing room.
God,
it saves everybody a whole lot of unwanted attention, a whole lot of aggravation, and it preserves the sanctity of that event.
I thought about that as well. Like, they could have just lied about the whole thing. But if that ever came to light, that they lied about it.
Oh, for sure. It'd be terrible.
It'd be terrible. You know, if he... Oh, but probably Mr. He had a case of the shits. You know, if he... And then came back for the game. Like, if that's a bad look. That's a real fucking bad look. But that's the only thing I could think of as well that would get them out of there is... Something happened. He was hurt or he was ill or whatever, and he couldn't go at all. And you never make the correlation between the Pride Night and the thing. Like, that would have been their only bet to get out of that one without any kind of attention. And that's where being Ivan Provorov sucks. This guy's missed 3 games in 7 fucking years, all against his will when he had COVID. You know, like, if this was anybody else, you probably could have gotten away with that excuse because it's one fucking player that, you know, misses games regularly, right? You know, people miss games. Provorov doesn't fucking miss games. So when he missed the warm-up, something was going on, and people would have made that connection regardless. You know, that was the only thing I could think of a way around it was if you just flat-out lied. But if that ever came to light, then you're in more trouble than you were when you started, so...
They were just fucked because it was never planned properly from the beginning.
Yep.
They never got out in front of the issue.
And they never told their fucking PR staff that he was going to do this dumb shit.
Yeah. It's just so, it's repetitive. We see this all the time with this organization. This is one of the largest examples, but we just see it all the time. They never plan properly. I mean, they haven't planned their roster properly.
That's why the whole thing with Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts really intrigued me. For that locker room to say, do we put on the jersey or not? Like, we all should do it or we all shouldn't. And for the locker room to kind of unanimously say, oh, no, we're all doing it. If that guy wants to sit there and mope and not do it, that's on him. I thought that is something interesting that I don't think people are talking about. That could be the room saying, you're not one of us, dude. You made your choice.
They didn't feel that he was worth going to bat for something like this. Yeah.
Nope. You chose that over what all the rest of us are doing. It's like that one person in the jury, Mike. You see, like, on these shows and stuff where it's a pretty cut and dry case.
Yeah.
But there's that one fucking guy on the jury going, nope, he's not guilty. I don't think he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they got the videotape. Did you not see that videotape? He fucking stabbed the guy.
Yeah.
In front of, on tape.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Nope, mm-hmm. It wasn't him. How do you know it was him?
Video was edited. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and there's that one person, and then all the other jury people are like, oh my God, we're sequestered. We're away from our families. We're in a hotel. I haven't seen my kids. I want to go back to work. I need to get back to my life. And this fucking idiot is ruining it for all of us. And they're all like, and you know that they're all turning on this one juror.
Oh yeah.
Seriously.
Pressure the shit out of him.
Stop. Just fucking, we want to go home. We want to go do regular stuff. I can see that being an issue. And Torts was kind of deflecting and saying, like, no, this is going to bring us closer together.
Yeah, he's just...
I don't understand how that works, but I understand what he's trying to do, but I don't get how that works.
Yeah, he's just, he's spinning it. You know, I haven't seen Torts add a lot of spin to stuff since he got here until now. And I don't really buy the spin. Like, I thought he was pretty, he's still telling us very directly, but I feel like he's trying to obfuscate this situation more than is necessary and kind of give more credence to Provorov's decision than needs to be stated by him. Almost overcompensating for it to some extent. And the comment about how it's going to bring them closer together. Oh, really? Is it the same, you know, the same reasoning that Gary Bettman used to say that fans actually like the digital boards ads? Like, no, like there's no fucking way. Like, we're not idiots. Like, no, this does not unify a locker room when you have one bad seed against a cause that everybody else feels strongly. Like, that doesn't unify anyone. You know, it just doesn't. So, you know, I'm a little annoyed with some of Torts' comments on this so far. And he kind of doubled down on a couple things from, I think, you know, a day or two afterwards. But
it is an interesting tactic because everybody on, I think it was Russ Joy who said, well, it's him protecting his players. It's him standing out in front of it and saying, okay, I'm gonna take this shot. But if that locker room said, I don't care what that guy does, we're all going to go out with this. And if that person chooses not to, that person they're on their own.
Right, exactly.
For John Tortorella, then, that puts him in a weird spot. Because now he can either defend Ivan Provorov, which he kind of did. I didn't hear his comments. I heard snippets of it.
He basically did.
People, he was more or less defending Provorov.
Some people were really angry with what he said, and some people were saying, nah, he made sense. So I don't know what it was. But if the rest of your locker room that is basically bought in to what you've been preaching them and selling them, and you're trying to move forward with them together, if the locker room makes a decision to say, you know what, we are going to move ahead together, but without that guy, I don't know if it's John Tortorella's best interest to keep them all together.
Yeah.
It might be better that, you know what, some coaches that
feed program to the fucking wolves on that one and protect everybody else. Yep.
Yeah.
Some coaches that act in this way where they play their favorites and they try to do a bonding unity thing, and then they have to throw that one guy under the bus. This is that guy.
Yeah.
Because if you try to force the rest of these guys, and listen, I don't know, I'm not there. This is what Elliot Friedman reported. He said that the team made a decision that they were going to go out with those jerseys. It was either everybody goes with the jerseys or everybody doesn't. Provorov made it clear he wasn't going to wear it. The rest of the team said, you know what, we are going to wear it. That sends a huge message. And John Tortorella has to now, dude, it'd be so much easier for him to say, you know what, these guys have all bought in. They all seem to be together. I can work with these guys. But if they don't want to have that other guy as part of this, that's a huge problem, man. And you have to get rid of him now.
I don't know why, like the net effect of his comments regarding Provorov and, you know, endorsing his right to choose what he participates in and what he doesn't. I don't know if the net effect of that is anything greater than just saying, I have no comment on his lack of participation. You'll have to ask him. Done. End of story. You know, that probably would be fun. It's not like Provorov's like, oh, thank God my coach is vouching for me, I'm going to play. Like, I don't think that that bridge is, you know, is crossed with those comments. It just makes Torts like sound silly. And
it just wasn't, you know, the right thing to say.
Yeah.
He should have just thrown Provorov to the fucking wolves on that one. To say, listen, I don't have a comment on this one. You could, like,
yeah, you have to ask him, and then Provorov can
himself. Kind of, you know, Provorov can do whatever the fuck he wants, but that your freedom of speech or whatever the fuck does not protect you from the fucking consequences of your actions. And when it's something as significant as this, you have to fucking answer for that. And Tortorella did not have to go to bat for this guy. He just didn't. You know, you could have really ostracized Provorov. This was your chance to say, okay, this is his fault and his fault alone. And instead, Tortorella, you know, more or less straight up defended the guy, which made everything worse. Like, if Tortorella did not do what he did, and then doubled down on it the fucking following day with the more or less same comments, this may have been a different story as well. You know, the Tortorella kind of had the chance, especially since the front office fucking left him high and dry on this one. You know, this was his chance to kind of rewrite the script and let this come out a different way, and he didn't choose to do that. You know, and it was kind of, you know, he defends his players, but it was really to a fault on this one, because it made everything fucking 10 times worse. Because he didn't phrase things the right way. You know, his John Tortorella charm of being an abrasive asshole was, you know, not the right tool for this job. You know, you should have approached it with a little more empathy, a little more, you know, with the human side, I guess, of that to cover up the tracks. And if Tortorella handled that better, you know, this may not have been as gigantic of a story. If they scratched Provorov and handled that press conference better, this may not have been as bad as it was, but Tortorella's comments making everything worse and Provorov not being scratched at all, you know, you made things even worse after not consulting your PR team that this is going to happen in the first place. So, yeah, it is what it is, but it was not the best outcome that could have happened from John Tortorella on that one. But
I hope, like, I usually get annoyed with some reporters, but man, it would be great if you get some fucking, like, some cavalier reporters that go in and interview Provorov after every game and just continue to ask these questions
every fucking night
and
yeah.
push him, like, because he's obviously uncomfortable, like, you know, even addressing the subject matter in any way, shape, or form. So just fucking ask the question and make him not you know, like, all right, I'm not answering that, or you got to respect me, because he's going to eventually get pushed to a point where he says something really bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's going to let something slip
sooner or later. Yeah.
He's going to dig himself even further down than he already has. And at this point, I think that that's warranted, you know, like he should have to answer for it.
He should have to provide a legitimate answer for this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, get like a fucking, I don't know, Randy Miller from back in the day or whatever to get in there.
Fuck Randy Miller. Jesus Christ.
And fucking get in there.
Haven't heard that name in a while.
Ask some damn questions. You know, like somebody like a bruiser.
Yeah. Nobody fucking today is going to ask those questions. No way.
Sam might. It's possible
Carcutti might. Yeah.
Because he's a little kooky sometimes, and he might try to draw a little blood here and there.
Yeah. Fucking Randy Miller. There's a fucking name I haven't heard in a long time.
Sick. He just came to mind as like, you know, one of the bulls that was in there. Get fucking Eskin in there. Howard started. Howard won't be every game, but and then I guess they could strip your media. I don't know. That'd be interesting if a reporter asked a couple times, and then Ivan like reported it back to the organization. They say, if you ask any questions about this, we're going to take your press pass.
Yeah, I would assume that's what would be what would happen eventually.
God, that is so fucking bad.
Oh Jesus.
That's terrible, but yeah, it's pretty wild, man, to be a fly on the wall inside of that organization. It's just one misstep after another.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting day to hear everything that went down. Fucking find out what the PR team said the second they found out Provorov pulled this shit, and it started making national news.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look good for Val. It doesn't look good for anybody there.
What was Val Camillo's first comment to Chuck Fletcher when they found out? You fucking asshole!
Now they're probably like, we asked him, we gave him notice, and it was his fault that he didn't report back to us what he was going to do until, like, that's probably what they said.
It was one giant blame game.
Mm-hmm. Pass the buck.
Yeah, that's going to fucking... Whatever. Stupid. Stupid fucking player. Stupid organization.
Wouldn't it be crazy if that just derailed all the progress that they made the last 10 games?
It might.
I hope it does.
They got their shit rocked by the Blackhawks. It very well might.
So who do they got next? They got what? Detroit?
Detroit and Winnipeg, I think. Yeah, Detroit and Winnipeg. And then LA, Minnesota, Winnipeg again. And then the All-Star break.
Should be some losses in there against the Jets.
Yeah, Winnipeg's, I don't know. They're kind of looking a little weak the last week or so.
They could lose to Detroit.
Detroit, yeah, they could.
Playing well this year. Kings, maybe. That game's in Philly. Winnipeg, they're probably, yeah. I assume they're going to lose to Winnipeg at least once of those two games. And Minnesota, I don't have no idea what Minnesota's doing this year.
I think they're doing good.
A lot of 50-50 games. I could see wins or losses out of all of those, essentially.